Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the podcast for October 15th, 2007, and on this episode we have an interview with Diane Hyers, the chairperson of the Equity Branch of the Joseph Jefferson Awards. She will be talking to Tom Williams about the Jeffs coming up here in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this interview. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is the chairperson of the Equity Branch of the Jeff Awards. Her name is Diane Hyers. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Tom.
I just thought with the Jeff Awards coming up in 2 weeks, and you can tell us when and where they're at.
Okay. The ceremony this year is at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. It's on Monday, October 29th, and an appetizer buffet at Martini Bar and Cash Bar at 6 o'clock, and the awards presentation starts at 7:30.
At 7:30. And this is the Equity Branch of the Jeff Awards. So
right.
Tell us what the Equity Branch of the Jeff Awards is for those listeners who may not know.
Well, in very general terms, we have two divisions, equity theaters and non-equity theaters, which are called Citation. And it's roughly 50% of everything going on in the city in each. Generally speaking, the equity theaters are the larger houses and those that have equity actors. There's a more complicated formula than that, but that's good for now.
Okay, yeah. So it's more of the union, the full-time professional actors, to use a very general term.
Right.
Okay. And the awards this year are early this year. Usually you guys do it in November, but it's October 29th on a Monday.
We've moved just a bit.
Okay. And what I'd like to do is go over some of the categories and who some of the nominees are, because it's certainly been a great year. It's a testimony to the Chicago Theater and to the Jeff Committee for, you know, 99.99% getting it right. I mean, it's amazing. I've seen every production that has been nominated. But give us a quick view of how the process goes. Now, opening night comes up. The Jeff Committee sends people out to see the opening, correct?
Right. Theater applies to be judged, and if they meet the proper criteria, which has to include 18 performances, we send 5 members from our committee out, and 2 members from the artist and technical team, which would be actors and designers of various kinds. And so 7 judges review an opening night, and then they all cast individual ballots by phone, and a production is recommended if it receives a certain number of votes. There's a total tally, and then there is a way for an individual element to garner enough votes to receive that the production is Jeff recommended.
Okay, so now Jeff recommended then means that the entire committee comes out to view the production. Is that correct?
Upon it being recommended, the entire committee is invited to see the production.
And they don't have any idea of what element or elements got it directed, correct? They just know that it is recommended and they have to go out and view it.
That's right. It's all very much the individual judge's perception.
Okay, great. And so that makes it nominated means that after the committee most of the people on the committee have gone out to see the show, then the votes are tallied and that they become nominated. Is that correct?
Right. That's a process that accumulates for all the shows over the course of a year. And at the conclusion of that year, it's a straight calculation of the highest percentage of votes in each category.
Okay, and what is your calendar? What is your year for the equity? When does it start and when does it end?
It ends this August 1 through July 31st.
Okay, great. So, it's not the calendar year. It's the Jeff year.
It's the theater year, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much the theater year. Now, I noticed in some of the categories we're going to talk about, there's varying amounts of plays that were not, or individuals that were nominated. How does that work? I thought there was like four or five, but I see some of them there's as many as seven or eight.
When we look at the percentages, if they're very, very close, we would tend to take another one or two because there's not a breaking point. If, say, after four, you drop down 10 or 12 percentage points, then you know that that might be the cutoff.
Okay, so there's no minimum number? You don't like start out with four and then maybe there could be more?
There really is no minimum number.
Oh, okay.
We just have so many great performances that the
list... Well, no, I think it's great what you do with that, but I was just curious. I wanted to get it playing. All right, let's go over some of the the nominees. I kind of have them in the order of when you put out your press release with the all the productions that were and individuals that were nominated.
Okay.
Because I always start out with the best play. Give us some of the nominees for the best play.
There are six this year. Another Part of the Forest, the Lillian Hellman classic from Writers Theater. Argonautica from Looking Glass, that beautiful adaptation by Mary Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Visually attractive.
Yes, it was.
Building a ship right before your eyes. August, Osage County, the blockbuster from Steppenwolf, which we're proud to see going on to New York, although I don't think that's necessary for us to know how good it was here.
That's for sure.
A tremendous ensemble with Todd Rosenthal having built a complete house on stage, three stories, you could live in it. From Remy Bumpo, The Best Man, a Gore Vidal piece with the race for president and all sorts of ancillary issues. Doug Vickers was nominated for a cameo or performance in that show. Come Back Little Sheba from Shattered Globe, William Inge, David Cromer directing, and Linda Ryder as the sad housewife in that domestic drama. Joe Turner's Come and Gone was a wonderful ensemble piece from Congo Square Theater, the August Wilson piece, with just a tremendous energy and
absolutely. I mean, that's quite a list of plays, and I can tell you in this category, literally anybody who wins deserves it.
It's a good group.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, let's move on to production of musicals. There's some interesting nominations here.
Well, two Stephen Sondheim shows in the list. It's interesting. It takes Sondheim shows a few years to become as popular as they finally do. He's elusive, but fascinating. Assassins from Porchlight, with a nomination for Sarah Savigny in one of those assassin roles. The other was Into the Woods at Marriott, Dominic Massimi directing, and outstanding costumes by Nancy Massimi, and a great ensemble of singers there. Ragtime came out of nowhere from Porchlight. It's a huge show, and they managed to do it in a small space and to really recategorize the way that musical works. Walter Stearns nominated, Eugene Dezan nominated, Aaron Graham for Tata, and another supporting actress. Just a really exciting production. I think I saw you there, Tom.
Yes, I did. I was there, and I went to when they remounted it at the Apollo Theater because it ran all summer.
Right, exactly.
Which is another great thing we're starting to see happen in Chicago theater, that when a show gets legs, it gets moved to a larger venue and continues on. I think that's a good idea.
Yes. A really interesting remounting of Oklahoma with a reorchestration all by a string band.
Yeah, it was a kind of the folk country version.
Yes, and I probably a lot more like it should sound, you know.
I agree. And they cast, instead of casting great singers, they cast like How the Cowboys and How the People Would Actually Sing.
And Malcolm Rule with that orchestration and that musical approach made it new again.
Yes, he did.
The last one, not to be overlooked, from Marriott also, they had two in the musical category, was Shenandoah. I don't know if you felt the same way I did, but I've always never seen that, always heard that it's kind of an okay show, but in their hands with the Civil War theme, resonating with our own war theme right now, David Hess was incredible in that.
Yes, he was.
Principal role, a great ensemble.
I remember the film, but I had never seen it on stage. I heard the soundtrack, and I just, it was okay. But
yeah,
they really made it come to life. It's one of the great productions that Marriott has done.
I think it has to do with choosing a show that resonates with our times, too.
Yeah, that's how true that is. All right, moving on. We're into reviews. By the way, and musical theater, this is another one of those categories. You can almost throw a dart in a dartboard, and whatever one comes up deserves the win because they all deserve the win.
And they're very different.
Yes.
Forever Plaid at Drury Lane Oak Brook, we all know that Forever Plaid thing, it's just so funny, and it was so well sung.
Yes, it was.
A great ensemble of guys in that. Fire on the Mountain, with coal miners in the southeast, a tight ensemble production with interesting visuals. Two nominations there, Mississippi Charles Bevel and Molly Andrews in the cast.
Yeah, that was wonderful bluegrass music.
Oh, and unique and heartbreaking.
Yes, it was. And All Night Strut, I see, is the other one production. That's quite an interesting piece because that was almost a totally brand new show the way they did it at Marriott.
Right. Five choreographers contributed to that under the leadership of Mark Robin. I think he did most of it, but if you didn't like one dance, another one totally different was coming.
Yeah, it was definitely a high-energy one. Now, in a very ambitious category is the ensemble category. Kind of explain for folks what the ensemble means.
It's the way the actors work together as a unit. You can tell a good ensemble show. It has something to do, probably, although we disagree about this, with the way it's written. Usually an ensemble show has more balanced parts for more actors, but not so much one standout, one principal character who dominates.
Okay, that's a good definition.
The energy created by everyone doing well in an ensemble is palpable. When you're there, you know it. I know you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. And I think it's kind of almost a Chicago trademark, the ensemble pieces, led by Steppenwolf, but certainly other theaters all do it too. Don't you agree?
Actors Equity is sponsoring the Ensemble Award for us this year. We're excited about that new development.
Oh, okay.
And I think one reason they're doing that is it is our trademark to do ensemble work well here.
Yeah,
Chicagoans don't know how much this is a hub for theater, but in these ensemble pieces, you can see what strong work is going on.
Right. Let's go over the list. Some of them we've talked about, but they're getting kind of a double recognition. So give us the list, please.
Okay. Argonautica and August, we've mentioned.
Right.
Execution of Justice from About Face Theater was a really interesting piece about the Harvey Milk trial in the
right.
late 70s. Emily Mann piece. We mentioned Fire on the Mountain and Forever Plaid already, and Into the Woods, Joe Turner, and Shenandoah. The others are repeats. But they all have in common that group of characters that work together.
Good. That's good, because a lot of people ask me that the difference between, why do that if it's best play? But we now understand that. For now, new work. Now tell us what new work means. Now we're going to talk about new work plays.
Okay, a completely new play being produced for the first time, a world premiere.
Okay, which, again, Chicago is getting well known for.
That's right. People take a chance here, and many of these pieces go on to have good lives in lots of other places.
Okay, so let's go over the list.
Well, there was Lady at Northlight by Craig Wright, a Southern Illinois hunting trip. Jeff Sweet at Victory Gardens wrote Court Martial at Fort Devens, which was a civil rights story of wax in the Army in 1945.
Yeah, that was interesting because it's a little known story, kind of one of the first times that the wax kind of stood up for themselves.
Right, and mistreated, and a tale that needs telling.
Oh, yeah, it sure did. I liked it, yeah.
And Tracy Letts, August Osage County, the domestic drama extraordinaire.
Yep.
And when you can't stand it anymore, he cuts it with that unique sense of humor that just makes a blockbuster piece out of it.
That's for sure.
J. Nicole Brooks at Looking Glass, Black Diamond, The Years the Locusts Have Eaten. This is another unusual piece, I'm sure you agree, about
yes.
Liberian freedom fighters.
Yeah, and it was so well staged.
Yes. Visually attractive, interesting lighting and music coordinating with that. Both of those elements were nominated. And then lastly, at Chicago Dramatist, who should be given lots of credit over lots of years for producing so many new works, Water by Ellis Austin.
Yeah, that was a sleeper show that was very well done.
That's the list.
So that's for new work plays. And we also have new work musicals.
Three in that category this year. Sometimes we have enough and sometimes we don't. And three seem to create a category. Up at Next Theater, Joshua Schmidt and Jason Lois did an adaptation of the Elmer Rice play, The Adding Machine. And they transformed it into a chamber musical. It was almost opera. Very dark setting. The lights by Keith Parham were nominated. Where you feel like you're back near the turn of the century working in a sweatshop of numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
Joel Hatch nominated for that principal role. Next, the Teapot Scandals, based on the little-known Teapot Dome scandal of Warren Harding, in musical form. I mean, who would dream this up? John Steinhagen,
who's a major talent, yes.
Multi-talented.
Yes, he is.
Plays and acts and writes, and Porchlight produced his show.
Yeah, it was kind of a vaudeville sort of show.
Yeah.
In its way. It was cute. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And we learned more about Harding than we ever wanted to know.
That's true. That's very true.
At Victor Gardens, a readaptation of Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen by Michael Smith and Frank Galati with a folk song flavor. Very attractive show. Fascinating puppets, which were nominated. An interesting piece that I wouldn't be surprised if it gets remounted because it's...
Well, no, they are. It's on the schedule.
Okay, good.
They are remounted.
That's why I thought so, I guess.
Yeah, I get every press release, and I love the show, and I've interviewed Michael Smith. It was his lifetime passion to do this show.
It showed.
Yeah, it did. So, now, new adaptation. Explain what that is. That's the next category.
Okay. That's taking a work that already exists in book form or possibly even a movie and recreating it. A good example would be Argonautical. Mary Zimmerman takes the classic Greek tale of Jason and the Argonauts and makes it into a new work but with her own language and her own creation.
Okay.
That was at Looking Glass.
Right.
An interesting one in the western suburbs is the Madness of Edgar Allan Poe. That's being remounted right now at First Folio Shakespeare.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see it tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only one I have not seen from last year.
Well, then you're going to catch up.
Yeah, and David's a terrific director, and a good. Everyone told me this play is terrific.
David Rice.
Yeah, David Rice.
Executive director there, I think. The piece is fun because it moves through the mansion into several rooms. And so it's a play instead of a haunted house, but with Edgar Allan Poe being a central character, it has a certain eeriness throughout.
Okay. One of my favorite shows of last year was She Stoops to Conquer at Northlight with Bill Brown directing.
As a reset as a Western.
Yeah. With folk cowboy music in it and lots of humor.
Right. That's nominated for the music as well as the adaptation.
Oh, okay. And then lastly, in this category, you have Claudia Allen for I Sailed with Magellan, kind of a piece about Chicago in a way.
Right. Victor Gardens Theater, growing up in Chicago. We have a few of those pieces that we think are special because they involve our lives, right?
Yeah, they sure did. It reminded me of, I'm a Northwest Sider, and this was set in the Southwest Side, but, you know, the city's the city. You could relate to it. That was an excellent. Now, we're moving on, because in the interest of time, I want to keep moving here. Director for play, again, Chicago has such a great core of directors.
That's right. Another part of the forest was Bill Brown. He was also nominated for an adaptation, the She Stoops to Conquer. David Cromer with Come Back, Little Sheba at Shattered Globe. Anna Shapiro, August, Osage County. Mary Zimmerman, Argonautica. And Derek Sanders, Joe Turner's Come and Gone.
Another one of those categories that it's just too bad they can't all win.
That's right. Oh, that's a strong group, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, fabulous. And the next group is pretty darn strong, too, director for musical.
Two from Porchlight, Walter Stern's Ragtime and Michael Weber's Assassins. Then from Marriott, two, Shenandoah with David Bell directing and Oklahoma with Damon Kiley. And finally, from Next, David Cromer with The Adding Machine.
Yeah, again, an excellent category. I'm kind of cheering for Walter Stearns because he's done such a terrific amount of work, and he has not won on the equity level. I believe he has won on the citation level.
Well, we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, that'll add a little mystery to it. But again, everybody's deserving of winning. So let's move on to director for review.
Okay. There were four nominated, including Paul Piment for Forever Plaid at Drury Lane, Mark Robin with The All-Night Strut, Mark Warszewska from Second City, Pratt Falls of Civilization, and Randall Myler, Fire on the Mountain at Northlight.
Another excellent category. Now let's get into the individuals. In this category, the actor in principal role, I have to ask you that there's usually like four or five, and this one is what, seven?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, if you add more, if the percentages, if the votes are that close or there's ties?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Because this is another fabulous category. And I've talked to several of the actors who are nominated in this category, and they go, it's just such an honor to be listed, you know, with these other great actors.
It's fun to talk to them because you realize how much respect they all have for each other.
Yeah, they do. All right, let's go through the list.
Ben Carlson at Chicago Shakespeare in Hamlet, a very strong and interesting interpretation.
Yes.
Nick Sands at Remy Bumpo in The Real Thing. Kevin McKillop at First Folio in Oakbrook, Richard III. And a real strong character there in the summer, sitting outside for lots of hours.
Yes, I enjoyed that show.
I did too. Another great outside performance, Oak Park Festival Theater of Tally's Folly with David Girolamo.
Awesome. I was there on a 90-degree day, and he had that big, heavy woolen suit on, and he just kept on rolling.
That's right.
I felt like giving him a glass of water.
Exactly. It was a strong piece. Anthony Fleming III in Denmark at Victory Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
That was also another interesting, historically-based piece. Larry Newman in The Puppet Master of Lodz. I think that was extended a couple of times at Writers' Theater.
Yeah, I think it ran like 7 or 8 months.
Right. It was a really small, intimate piece with beautiful puppets by Michael Montenegro and a chilling story.
Yes, it was. Another great category. So, all right.
I think I didn't mention John Judd.
Oh, yes. How could the...
Can't forget. Come
he
back.
He was so intense in that, yes.
Both he and Linda Ryder were nominated for that, and there are good reasons.
Yeah, it was a fabulous piece.
Shattered Globe.
So we go to actor in a principal role musical.
Okay. We have Marriott with David Hess in Shenandoah, the father of the boys in the war. Jason Brooks was Cole House Walker in Porchlight's Ragtime. Matthew Brumlow played Curly in Oklahoma in that new version, that revised.
Yeah, he was terrific. He's not really a great musical guy, but he had that cowboy realism, you know, and emotion to playing Curly, which was very interesting.
Joel Hatch in The Adding Machine, he had that burdened everyman thing down pat.
He sure did.
For Next Theater. And Joseph Anthony Ferrante was the king in The King and I at Drury Lane.
Yeah, another nice category. All right, actress in a principal role play. There again, there's a beautiful list of some of our great ladies of Chicago theater.
Well, two of them held forth in August of Sage County at Steppenwolf, Amy Morton and Deanna Dunnigan. Amy is one of the daughters of this deranged family, and Deanna Dunnigan as the dowager crazy mother.
Well, I'm hoping they end up with a tie and they both win.
They were great.
Yes, they sure were.
Marianne Thebus is another interesting mother figure in The Beauty Queen of Lenan.
Yes.
Gift Theater. Tiffany Scott was an unusual and fine performance as a refugee bride, an Armenian story at Provision Theater.
Yeah, I saw that. It was a spectacular performance on her part.
A young girl as Anne Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank, Claire Elizabeth Sachs at Steppenwolf.
I believe she just graduated or was you're still in high school.
She's a freshman in college.
Freshman in college now. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And we mentioned before Linda Ryder in Come Back, Little Sheba, Shattered Globe. And in The Continuum, production at Goodman by three different companies, Danai Gurira, she played an African woman, a duet piece. And finally, Michelle Graff at our artistic home with Landscape of the Body.
Yeah, nice category. Actress in a principal role musical.
Let's see. Carissa Arman in Ragtime at Porchlight. Mary Ernster recreated her role as in The King and I at Drury Lane. She won for it once before and is nominated again.
If she wins again, is that would that be precedent setting? Do you know of?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Close.
Okay. I just wonder if anyone else has won twice.
We'll have to look it up.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
That's
a good question. Ernestine Jackson at Court Theater in Raisin. That was another interesting recreation of a show you don't see much. And she had played the daughter in the New York productions many years ago and was in Chicago here playing the mother.
Yeah, it was a good performance.
Susan Moniz can do no wrong, in my opinion.
I agree.
Fabulous as the witch in Into the Woods at Marriott. And finally, Vicky Omega Stokes, who took on the astounding challenge of being Billie Holiday in Don't Shed a Tear at Black Ensemble.
Yeah, it was a marvelous production. Okay, and solo performance, which is a category that you don't see all the time because obviously there have to be enough solo performances that are recommended.
Right. Matt Sachs was a solo performer in Clay, which was mounted by About Face Theater with Looking Glass Theater. He's now moved on to L.A. doing the same piece. It's a hip-hop musical story. Quite unusual. Did you see that?
Yes.
And then Lance Stewart Baker in an odd experience piece called Tom Paine, Based on Nothing, Theater Wit. It was at the soon-to-be-defunct Viaduct.
Yep. All right, actor in a supporting role play. There's some real strong players in this one.
Yes. Timothy Edward Kane in Uncle Vanya, a Court production, Court Theater. Alan Gilmore as the unusual older man in Joe Turner's Come and Gone, Congo Square. Maury Cooper, a memorable performance in Shattered Globes, The Price. Anthony Chisholm in Radio Golf at Goodman, the last August Wilson play. And Steppenwolf, The Pillow Man, Michael Shannon was recognized.
Yeah, that's, again, another good category. Actor in supporting role musical.
Okay, back to some of the ones we've mentioned. Ragtime, Aaron Graham was nominated for Tata. And The Three Musketeers at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Juan Chiorin. Casey Campbell in Oklahoma at American Theater Company, and Larry Adams in Munster at Theater at the Center in Cass.
Okay. Cameo performances, another category that you don't see every year. Again, there has to be enough warranted performances, but you got some real good veterans in this one.
They have to be really noteworthy, or I think, honestly, the committee doesn't think of it.
Okay.
A cameo performance has to be about one entrance with a notable part, and that doesn't happen all the time.
That's true. That's true. But this year we have three of them, which is interesting.
That's right. Dennis Letts, the father of Tracy Letts, who wrote August Osage County, is playing the father in Steppenwolf's production. And Douglas Vickers was, I think he was a delegate in The Best Man at Remy Bumpo. And lastly, James Harms in Chicago Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Okay. Yeah, that's we'll see who does what there. All right, actress in a supporting role play.
Let's see. Penny Slusher, very memorable in Another Part of the Forest at Writers. And at Shattered Globe, Linda Ryder again. She's always going to surface. This was in The Price. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany Scott, a second nomination for The Two Noble Kinsmen at Chicago Shakespeare.
Okay.
And Cheryl Lynn Bruce in a very interesting play, Flying West at Court. It's a pivotal moment when she decides to make the pie, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was terrific. Okay, let's keep...
We should mention Elizabeth Leto in
Yeah, Uncle Elizabeth Leto, too, in Uncle Vanya. I mean, these categories are incredible because that's why I suggest you come out to see the award ceremony if you can get a ticket. There's still tickets available?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You can go to jeffawards.org and... either mail in or choose a credit card.
Okay. All right. Let's keep rolling here. Actress in supporting role musical, another good category.
Well, Brandy McClendon was nominated twice for Marriott Productions for her role in Grease and as Little Red in Into the Woods.
Okay.
Then Susie McMonagle, also Into the Woods at Marriott. Amy Warren, The Adding Machine at Next. And Sarah Savigny, Assassins from Porchlight. And finally, Liz Pasek, as I think she was the Miss Marple character in Something's Afoot. At
yeah, that she was. All right, actor in a review, we have three.
Fire on the Mountain is a nomination for Mississippi Charles Bevel.
Right.
That's from Northlight. He won, I think, last year. Or the
yes,
year
he
before.
Did. I think he won last year.
Right. Andy St. Clair, Disposable Nation, Second City, and Roger Anderson in Light Opera Works, Ben Begley's The Decline and Fall of the Entire World is Seen Through the Eyes of Cole Porter. A nice short title.
Yeah, nice short title. Actress in a Review, we have three and three well-deserving players.
Okay, Rebecca Finnegan also from Ben Begley's Cole Porter piece from Light Opera Works. Molly Andrews from Fire on the Mountain at Northlight, and Nikki Lindgren, another Second City, Pratfall of Civilization.
Okay, one of the categories that I like is coming up is choreography. Again, dance adds so much to a musical, and we have some terrific choreographers in town, and pretty much they've all been nominated.
Well, two for Stacey Flaster this right. year. She works often at Theater at the Center in Munster, and she was nominated for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and also the more recent Cats.
Yes.
There were five choreographers for Marriott's The All-Night Strut, and Mark Robin was the leader of that team.
Okay.
And Rachel Rockwell, The King and I at Drury Lane, she did the extensive ballet scene.
She did a nice job of recreating that.
A lot of work, a lot of dance. And Brenda Didier... was the choreographer of Ragtime. To keep them all moving elegantly through that very small set was easier said than done.
Right. And now we're at the scenic design. Scenery makes a big difference. We have some terrific scenic design people here in Chicago.
I think this is one of our strong
I agree.
Areas. Kevin Hagen got two nominations for Come Back Little Sheba at Shattered Globe and also The Price there. Daniel Osling created that ship for Argonautica, The Voyage of Jason and the Argonauts at Looking Glass. Jacqueline and Richard Penrod did the interesting ATC Oklahoma set. Todd Rosenthal built that house for August Osage County at Steppenwolf Theater and is doing so in New York right now, probably. And Walt Spangler for King Lear at Goodman. That was a highly interesting set.
Yes, it was.
And a highly interesting production. James Shuey in Oedipus Complex, also at Goodman. And Brian Cindy Bembridge for 10 Little Indians at Drury Lane.
Well, we've seen.
I think that's the list.
Yeah, that is the list. And costume design, again, it's another good category. Led by Nancy Messini, who seems to get nominated every year out at Marriott.
Well, she's been doing great work for such a long time.
Yes, she has.
Into the Woods was no exception. Also in that category, Linda Cho for The Two Noble Kinsmen at Chicago Shakespeare. Rachel Ann Healy doing the period costumes for Another Part of the Forest at Writers Theater. Marianne Verheyen for Three Musketeers, also at Chicago Shakespeare. And Mara Blumenfeld, who is the regular costume designer for Mary Zimmerman for Mirror of the Invisible World. That was a beautiful, attractive,
yes, it was,
colorful, well-lighted performance. A lot of the elements worked together there. Music was also nominated.
Right. Sound design?
Sound design. This is one a lot of people don't notice, but it creates so much of the aura of what we feel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Richard Woodbury for King Lear at Goodman. Cecil Everett for Into the Woods at Marriott. Victoria De Iorio for Frozen at Next Theater. That was an unusual piece. Lindsay Jones for Troilus and Cressida at Chicago Shakespeare. And Andre Plouffe, Kevin O'Donnell, and Michael Griggs for Black Diamond at Looking Glass. And Andre Plouffe again with Ben Sussman and Michael Griggs again for Argonautica at Looking Glass.
Okay, and lighting.
Sound.
Oh, we got one more. Don't we have Richard Woolbury for King Lear?
I think I started with him.
Oh, okay. All right.
We can mention him twice because it was awesome.
Okay, and lighting design.
John Culbert had two nominations. John Culbert seems to come up in almost every list. His pieces this year were Argonautica, The Voyage of Jason the Argonauts at Looking Glass, and Mirror of the Invisible World at Goodman. Brian Sidney Bembridge is also a lighting designer, and his work here noted was Black Diamond for Looking Glass. Keith Parham did the dark, dismal structure for Next Theater's The Adding Machine, and Michael Philippi for King Lear. Finally, Robert Wurzel, Chicago Shakespeare, Troilus and Cressida.
Okay. And
one more, I think.
Diane Ferry Williams for All Night Strut.
For the All Night Strut, all those dancers at Marriott.
Right. And musical direction.
Well, Jimmy Tillman got his due this year. All of the Black Ensemble Theater pieces, as I know you know, have a terrific combo.
Oh, yes.
They're always having such a great time, and they always nail the style in each of those shows. He was nominated for both Memphis Soul, the Story of Stax Records, and Don't Shed a Tear, the Billie Holiday story. We mentioned before Malcolm Rule, who music director of Oklahoma at American Theater Company. And Doug Peck always is in the list. He
yes,
has
he
two
is.
Nominations, All Night Strut and Shenandoah, both at Marriott. And finally, Eugene Dezan, whom we mentioned earlier, for his work in Ragtime at Porchlight.
Okay, and original incidental music, which is, again, is a relatively new category, but incidental music can add a lot to a drama, comedy, or any show, and I think it's a valid category.
You really have to be listening to see how this one goes. Michael Bodine is nominated for Music of the Invisible World at Goodman. That was that interesting percussion,
mm-hmm.
Odd instruments grouping.
Yeah.
Todd Barton did Oedipus Complex at Goodman. George Stiles, Troilus and Cressida at Chicago Shakespeare. Andre Plouffe and Kevin O'Donnell, really interesting sounds for Black Diamond at Looking Glass, and Andy Jones, Execution of Justice at About Face Theater, and a lot of writing by Andrew Hansen, Doug Frew, and Patty McKenney, because they wrote all sorts of songs for She Stoops to Conquer at Northlight.
Yes, they did. It was almost a musical. Not quite.
Yes, almost.
All right.
And one more, Josh Horvath and Ray Nardelli, Flying West at Court.
Yeah. And you have a category called Other, which kind of encompasses projection or puppets or other unique things that have added to a show.
Our new and improved language is our outstanding achievement in an artistic specialty.
Okay, that's good. All
that's
right.
Better, don't you think, than others?
Sounds better.
We had two projection designs, I think, John Boshi and Vigils at Goodman, and Mike Tutai for I Sail with Magellan at Victory Gardens. Also, is that right? One more, maybe, projection. Stephen Majurek at Sonia Flew at Steppenwolf. Then two puppeteers, Meredith Miller of Blair Thomas and Company, puppet design for the Snow Queen at Victory Gardens, and Michael Montenegro, puppet master of Lodes at Riders.
Fantastic.
And then Kevin Esselin was a fight coordinator for Three Musketeers.
Which was breathtaking.
Yes.
Well, I can't wait to see to attend the awards and to see the great Chicago performers and designers and creative people get their just due. It's going to be a great year.
And the performance itself, the ceremony, is very entertaining because, as you know, a lot of numbers from the nominated productions and musicals are presented, so it makes an entertaining evening.
So it's October 29th at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. Doors open, what, 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, show at 7:30.
Show at 7:30, and they usually have a nice spread of food and drinks before the show. So it'd be a fun evening. Thank you so much for going through the list. I know it's great to honor these people, even in just saying what they did and giving people the interest in coming out to see the awards. Because the Chicago Awards, unlike other cities, the process you guys have makes it such a legitimate, fair way of judging and awarding greatness.
Thanks, Tom.
I have nothing but respect for the Jeff Committee. And thank you so much for this. And folks, remember, go see a play this week.
Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of October 15th, 2007. The Goodman Theater is kicking off the 2007-2008 season in the Owen Theater with Eduardo Mercado's The Cook. The play is a sweeping look at four decades of Cuban history from one woman's perspective, including Castro's march into Havana, her rocky marriage due to her husband's infidelity, her husband's rise and fall through the ranks of Castro's government, and her resolve to remain faithful to a promise. Henry Godinez directs a cast of noted Chicago actors including Karen Aldridge, Edward F. Torres, and Philip James Brannan. The Cook opens this October 20th, and tickets are currently on sale. You can purchase them at thegoodmantheater.org or by calling the Goodman's box office at 312-443-3800. Also, don't forget to click on over to our website for a more in-depth perspective of Eduardo Mercado's The Cook. The House Theater of Chicago has unfortunately lost its lease on the Viaduct, the venue on Western Avenue where they have been performing for the past 6 years. The Viaduct has decided to take its stage into a new direction and has informed the House Theater of Chicago that their production of The Magnificence, running through November 3rd, will be the last production that the House will stage in the Viaduct. No need to worry, however, the House Theater of Chicago will be putting on its own version of The Nutcracker this winter at Steppenwolf's Upstairs Theater. They also currently have The Sparrow running right now at the Apollo Theater. And artistic director Nathan Allen has said they are already on the search for a new venue, possibly in Uptown, Roscoe Village, or Lincoln Square. Well, word has it that Chicago's legendary Chicago Theater on State Street will soon be purchased by Madison Square Garden Entertainment. That's right. The theater, whose marquee is probably more known than the theater itself, is currently owned by the company Theater Dream Chicago. They bought it from the city of Chicago for about $3 million back in 2003. But just this past Tuesday, Madison Square Garden Entertainment from New York has expressed strong interest in the purchase of the 3,600-seat theater. Now, everything is not finalized yet. We are still waiting for city approval, but I really don't see that as much of an obstacle. Boy, times are changing here in Chicago. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 3. This above all, to thine own self be true. Well, I can't thank you enough for listening to our podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with more news ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Diane Hires for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.